You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Welcome back to Real Talk with me, Mason Bray. Today, I do my first interview with someone I'm so excited about, so let's go to that. So, we have Gabriella Marzetta here, and she plays Dawn in the national tour of Waitress. Hi, Gabriella.
Hi, Mason. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Do you want to give a quick synopsis of how you got to Waitress?
Yes. It's a very funny journey. Long story short, I was not cast originally as Dawn. They had cast it months before, and I couldn't even get an appointment, which was heartbreaking because it's my dream show, dream role. But trusted the universe, was like, you know what? I'm just going to trust whatever happens, happens. Can't be mad. And then a couple months later, I saw that they were looking for the role of Dawn again. We all actors use a website called Actors Access, where different roles from tours, Broadway, regional theaters are released if they're available to audition for. So Dawn was released, and I was like, okay, I'm going to book this. So I sent literally 10 emails, maybe even more, to the casting directors in 10 different ways, because I Googled. I was like so crazy about this. I was like, I need them to read my email. I need to at least audition. So I Googled how to make sure a casting director opens your emails, because being in the business a couple years, half the time they never respond when you ask for an audition. So I was like, what's up with that? And I found out most of the time when you send your headshot and resume, or you send an attachment to a casting director or someone like that, it's sent to their spam folder because of the attachment in the email, which you don't learn that in school. So I sent 10 different emails, 10 different ways, hoping that it would end up in their inbox and they would see it. And they did. So I had 3 auditions in a week. It started with an initial audition with the casting director, and then I went back and did it for some of the Waitress creative team. And then the last day was like me and 3 other girls. I didn't meet them. I just heard them. And it was with most of the creative team and then a camera in the back recording for Sarah Bareilles, because she gets the final say, apparently. And I did, I think, four Dawn material things. Went in 3 times in a week. And then 4 days later, I got a call when I was leaving my preschool job, because I was a preschool teacher. Very weird. Shouldn't be a preschool teacher. I'm an actor. I was leaving my preschool job, and I got a call from the casting director that I was going to be Dawn. And it was the craziest moment of my life. So, yeah.
Best decision they ever made.
Exactly. Yeah, you never give up and send 10 emails. Send 20 emails. Who cares?
How long have you been doing theater, and how many productions have you been a part of?
Oh my gosh. I don't know how many productions I've been a part of. I used to count when I was younger, and I was like in my 20s, I would say, like when I was 15. No. It had to be like 16, 17. I started when I was 11. Schoolhouse Rock Live Junior was my first show ever at my middle school. I was very, very, very shy as a kid. Like, I was very weird and like funny, you know, like with groups of friends and like individual, but I was really shy in groups of people, like in like public settings. Like I would never think looking forward I would be who I am now as a girl. I was always very shy, writing scripts to myself, like filming my Barbies do these scripts. Like I've always been a writer, of you know, an artist. And my dad had to convince me. I was always a singer, but I only sang like in my family. And my dad convinced me to audition for my school's talent show by buying me a Barbie doll. So I was very young, and it worked. And ever since then, that was 5th grade, and I sang Reflection from Mulan for my talent show. And ever since then, I got bit by that theater bug. When I was growing up, I was in like 3 shows at a time. So my my youth was very much like obsessive theater kid, which now I resent a little bit. But I was, yeah, very much like one of those like glee kids. You know what I mean? Like typical theater kids who are so passionate about theater and literally want to eat, sleep, breathe it. And I did. And I actually ended up going to a performing arts high school. I transferred after my sophomore year at my normal public high school. And it was called Chicago Academy for the Arts. It's in Chicago. So I commuted there every day from the suburbs. So it was like an hour commute every day. And I'm so thankful for that training because I would not be where I am without it. So yeah, I think definitely that my performing arts high school training definitely well prepared me for college and after high school training and where I am now. So definitely was overloaded with theater activities growing up, but I wouldn't have it any other way because I wouldn't be who I am right now without it.
You're so amazing.
Oh, you're
amazing. Is Dawn the favorite role you've ever played?
Yeah, yeah. She's and been my dream role, like literally since I saw it, because the role isn't the same as it is in the movie. So it's not like when I saw the movie, I was like, I want to be Dawn if it ever becomes a musical. Because like, she's just not the Dawn we know and love in the movie. She's still amazing, but... I saw, I think one of the first or the second preview ever of Waitress on Broadway. My teacher actually was in New York. My high school teacher, was in New York visiting and he was going to go see it and he got sick. So he called me, he was like, can you take this ticket for Waitress? I'm sick. Like it's yours, it's free. And it changed my life. It was insane. So definitely. Yeah. My favorite role, dream role, dream come true. That and Jeannie from Hair. Those are the two best roles ever.
What is life like on the road?
Ooh, it is very, very, very crazy and not crazy at all. And I mean that like it's crazy because touring around a country, doing a 2.5 hour musical every day is not something humans like maybe we were put on this earth to do, but like the cavemen didn't do that. You know what I mean? Like this isn't something that comes naturally to humans, like getting on a bus, getting on a plane, or like constantly traveling, constantly having to be worried about your immune system, having to say no to the hangouts, which sucks. And I know like as a kid, I had the worst FOMO, like as a kid, which is like I always like, you always want to be hang out with people or you don't want to be left out. And now I like could not be happier to be left out because on the road, like if I was invited out to something, the guilt I would feel knowing that I probably shouldn't go out after a show, like felt really, it's a lot, but you know, you're doing the right thing because you have to take care of yourself. Cause if you get out there and you don't have a voice or something, like that's on you, you're going to get fined. You're going to disappoint the audience. So it's very, it's very crazy in the sense you always have to be on, but it's also so not crazy in the sense where half the time you're on a tour bus like a slug, like so flippin' tired, so like irritable. And the good thing is you're with all these people every day, so you become like how a family becomes, like literally like a family. You get annoyed with each other, you get irritable, like you can be yourselves. And that happens. It happens, but like no offense is taken because you have to be able to be yourself. Despite, you know, being around the same people every day, you shouldn't have to, you know, have to hide things you're going through. But I would say that was the most difficult part, definitely, is I would say maintaining an optimistic attitude, even despite like the long travel days, sometimes the really quiet audiences. Luckily, that didn't happen too much because the show was just so, you know, pee your pants funny. But there were some audiences where crickets. And it was like, Are you hearing us? Are you watching the show in front of you? So that was I would say, yeah, like the audience energy and our energy throughout the day getting into the show was definitely the hardest part. Best part, though, touring around our lovely country and Canada. But love the United States. Love Canada. But definitely, yeah, getting paid to travel the world or North America is really cool.
So when you do have immune problems, like when you're going around the country, how do you handle mistakes?
Ooh, you have to be so forgiving of yourself. I and I'm still learning this. I think if I was still in the show, I would be way better off than I was at the beginning. but speaking for myself, I mean, I'm such a perfectionist, and given that, you know, Dawn was and is my dream role and one of my favorite roles ever written, and so many other people's like dream role and favorite role that was ever written, there's a lot of pressure to do it justice, but also trust myself. So at the beginning, I was so anxious and worried all the time, taking so many like immune supplements, and I still do that, but I was like, go, 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 go at the beginning, like could not get enough, was so worried I was going to get fired at any second. And now like towards the end, I actually ended up calling out by my own choice, the second, not me knowing, our second to last show, I thought we had like 100 more shows. So it was like, I was super tired, and I felt like I was about to get sick, and I didn't, luckily, but I was like, you know what? I don't know anyone in these next cities. Like, they're just a bunch of one-nighters. And I posted on my Instagram to see if like there was anyone like super looking forward to like seeing me in particular. And I didn't hear anything. So I was like, great, I'm going to call out this Tuesday. Julia's finally going to get her chance. It's going to be awesome. And I felt in the moment, I felt good about it. Cause I was like, even though I'm not on my deathbed, and that was the only time I told myself I would call out, because I'm stubborn and I love being Dawn, but I had to realize there are times where I don't have to be on my deathbed to need a break. Like, I was so exhausted, and I probably would have made a mistake that night. Who knows? And that would have been on me, like not checking in with myself and knowing what I needed. There was a show where I would say the beginning-ish, it was like maybe after a month. So it was like after like the honeymoon period where we all were so excited to do the show. And then it was starting to get like, oh, we're doing this show again. Oh my God, I'm so tired. And we all kind of lost our minds this week, myself included. And I think we also, our director was here for like a brush up rehearsal week. So it actually must've been like a month and a half in, because we were all like really overwhelmed with like getting new notes. Some of us were feeling a little bit under for the first time since tech week, because we all got really sick during tech week. And I flubbed my song. I forgot the lyrics. Can you believe it? I went, I sing with real things, usually facts and figures. When information's in its place, I'm in a when information's in its place, I na 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 na. That's what I did. Can you believe it? Can you believe I did that? Mortified.
That's so funny.
It was insane, because I've sung that song thousands of times. It was the only song I would sing for auditions before I got Waitress, so, which is kind of pathetic. But like, how it's pathetic I forgot the words, but it was because I needed that break. I should have taken that time off when I was so exhausted, when I was feeling under. And so when those mistakes happen, like when that happened, I thought I was so scared, because usually when mistakes happen on stage that like are your fault, technically, you get fined $20. If you like, you know, forget your microphone, you get fined $20. Like, there's a bunch of things where you get fined, because, you know, you have to be professional. And I thought I was gonna get fined, but luckily they were understanding. But yeah, in those cases, Kennedy, who plays Becky, she taught me this phrase, and I love it so much. She always says, grace pill. And then she like throws me an invisible pill and I catch it in my mouth. And it's just like to say, give yourself a break. Like, let's take a second. Be grateful for what we got right now. Like, you got through that, grace pill. And I have been thinking that so much. So even like if my immune system fails me when we're on the road again next year, and like kind of how it did like for all of us at the beginning, which was really frustrating. You have to forgive yourself, because you're in a really strange circumstance, and you're traveling the country, and you're around all these people who have all these different things. Thank God none of us got corona. I'm so surprised we didn't, actually, because we were literally traveling all around. But when it happens, yeah, you have to forgive yourself. You have to know when to call out. And that takes a little bit of meditation, because when you have a role you love so much, you don't want to let it go. But it's not about that. It's about putting on a show for the audience that is perfect every night, the same show every night. And if that requires me having to call out that night, then like that's something I have to do for the audience. And there's nothing more to think of with that. Like, that's just what it is.
What's the funniest thing that has happened on stage?
Oh my God. I was thinking about this the other day, and I had something perfect. I was like, if someone asked me this, this is what I'm going to say. And now I am blanking, but I know for sure, maybe it'll come up as I'm saying this. I think most people have heard this one. This one happened towards the end. And this was the exhausted week. So this was a week before I had called out. I'm pretty sure, or it was 2 weeks, but it was like during a long stretch, one of those really long stretches towards the end before we all went home. It was before my wedding, or Dawn and Ogie's wedding. And what the blocking is like is me and Becky, I have my back to center stage and so does Ogie. So we like back into each other without seeing each other. And Jake, who plays Cal, is bringing Ogie in with his back facing me on stage right. And then Becky Kennedy is doing that to me stage left. But there was one night where it was all in slow motion. I'm like remembering it in slow motion. We were walking backwards and I tripped over the back of my wedding dress. So I fell back, which caused, we have our hands on each other, which caused her to fall down during a show. This is during a show. I'm sure if like someone sees this, like, and they saw the show, they'll be like, I was at the show. It was here. I don't remember where it was, which is maybe good because I would be thinking about it too much. But so it was like slow motion. Like I fell back and then she fell because of that. So here I am like falling back, but I fall. So like my feet are still on the ground. And so I'm like kind of squatted. So like my butt falls, but like my feet are still on the ground. So it's like a toddler sits if like they're pooping, but like standing up, you know what I mean? Like it was really weird and like such an awkward pose. Oh, I hate it. I hate that happened. And then Kennedy in the meantime is literally on her back like a bug, looking up at the ceiling, like cannot get up. And we have to get up because we have this amount of time in the music before we're supposed to be at the altar. And then the priest has her line and like it all is time because then I love you like a table starts. So we were like, we literally cannot mess this up. And so I like don't remember what I did. I blacked out. And I just remember like I somehow got up and I remember saying, I shouldn't have said anything. My microphone was on. I was like, it's okay. It's okay. Get up. It's okay. Like, just don't say anything. Like, don't improvise, Dawn. It was so awkward. And I was hoping my microphone wasn't on because I don't think that's actually how Dawn would have reacted in the moment. I think she would have like freaked out and stopped the wedding and made sure like Becky was okay. But yeah, that was, it was insane. And I just, the front row, I could hear go, and that's the worst thing ever. When you're like, no guys, it's fine. But like, they still like are worried. Yeah, I would say that was like the most embarrassing, but the funniest mistake. And then the other is when Brian, who plays Ogie, we used to have this bit where he would back up into the table after he woos me, after, what's his song? Never Getting Rid of Me.
Never Getting Rid of Me?
Yes. It's been so long since I've done this show, I'm forgetting everything. But he used to like back up into the table and things weren't supposed to fall off. And we had to cut it because things kept falling off. And it would just be like a crazy amount of things that would fall off each time. The audience would love it, but our director is very much like, nope, if it doesn't move the plot along, like we gotta snip it, which is like totally understandable. And we got a lot of shows with that happening. And I wonder if you actually saw that show. I don't remember when we changed it. It was like halfway through our run. So I don't remember if you saw it or not, but everything would fall off the table.
I think one thing might've fallen off when I saw it.
That makes sense. So it was actually probably like after that we changed it because yeah, it just things would fall off. And then like the pie that he gets in the song is not an actual slice of pie because there's so much dancing with it in the number that would usually fall off. And it clearly is a plastic piece of pie. So I had to like, you know, pretend to get some like pie off the ground when there wasn't any. So like our director's like, we have to cut it. But that was always really funny because like sometimes the top of the sugar would fall off and sugar would be all over the stage, but then it would be there for bad idea. So it was like figuring out things like that. So we had to cut it for that reason. But there was a time where there was a giant pile of sugar on stage in the gynecologist office.
Cool.
But yeah, exactly.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
How do you handle rejection?
I still think I'm learning how to do it. I think the fact I got Waitress is obviously a dream come true for me, and it was what I needed in my life at that moment. I was like giving up. I was like, do people actually book work? You know what I mean? Like like literally every other actor, like auditioning like crazy, like thinking you're going to get something and then not hearing anything, or hearing no, but the worst thing is not hearing anything at all. Like sometimes people have the decency of at least telling you you weren't the choice. And that actually feels better than not being told anything at all. It's really hard, not letting it affect you and not letting it be on your mind all the time. And like I said, I'm still learning how to do this. When I was waiting to get Dawn, I had like convinced myself I didn't get it so it would hurt less, and then I end up getting it. So something I do that is not healthy, I don't recommend doing this, it's a superstition to like help me deal with rejection, is every time I have an audition and I either really want it or I think it went well and I think I might get it, I tell myself I'm not going to get it, which is awful. It's awful. It's the opposite of manifestation, which is literally saying what you want and saying like, I want this. I want to book Dawn, so I'm going to get Dawn. And that was the one time I did that with Dawn, and I said, I'm going to book this role. And I said it out loud to myself all the time. And then I booked it. But I didn't do that ever with any other roles, because I thought if I let myself believe I could get it, I wasn't going to get it just because I was believing in myself. And see, like if I had an audition next week and I was supposed to hear, like I would still be telling myself that thing. I would still say like, you're not going to get it. It's fine, because it just makes it hurt less. So I don't recommend that, but I recommend something like that where you manifest it in the way where you're like, you know, yes, I'm capable of doing this. I want this role. I know I can do this. I'm going to book this role, but not holding on so tight where it hurts so bad when you don't get it. So like what has really helped me is like finding a happy medium of like with my process with Dawn. I was like, I'm going to book this role. This is my role. I know I'm going to. But then also the other half of my brain was also saying, and if you don't, that's so okay, because you got to go in the room as her. You got to be her 3 times this past week. You got to be her for 2 minutes each time. And that's incredible. You're the only non-union girl who has got to be Dawn in front of those casting directors. Like it's finding the balance between that. And luckily it worked in my favor and I got the role after years of not getting any of the roles I wanted. So it pays off. It's really what I always say, which is don't give up, because I was about to like take some time off after I finished my off-Broadway show I did before I got Waitress. I was going to take time off because I was so sick of not booking the shows I wanted to book. And I was like, am I just wasting my time? Am I a joke? And the day I was like going to start looking at other options, like going back to school or something, that's when I saw the casting post for Dawn. And I'm not even exaggerating. Things like that happen all the time. And it's our job as humans and artists to notice those things, to notice like that, how serendipitous that was, that Dawn was on my dream role, like something that literally changed the trajectory of my career. Me submitting for that role in that moment and sending those emails in that moment brought me to where I am now. And if I didn't let myself dream and didn't believe in myself in that moment to do that, I don't know where I'd be. I'd still be teaching preschool. I'd probably be like at a yoga retreat in Costa Rica, avoiding my life. You know what I mean? Like it's just so, you can't give up even when it's so hard. When you want to give up, then don't give up even harder. That's what I'm going to say. And I'm going to remember me saying this, so I remember this in the future, because that's actually good advice. When you want to give up, don't give up. even harder because it seriously pays off because you do not know what's around the corner. And it's always when you're least expecting it. You never get your dream when you're expecting to get your dream. It's always when you need it the most. And so I would say to handle rejection, remain optimistic, and be so like obsessed with your own artistry. Like be so curious about what makes you sound the best, what material makes you sound the best, what roles make you shine, what monologues. Like it's so important to find what makes your instrument shine its best. It makes your soul shine its brightest right now, no matter what your age is. And then the jobs on top of it, that doesn't determine your worth. That's just your paycheck. That's a good reminder. Yeah, the jobs you're going in for and the roles you're going in for, that's not your life. It's your paycheck. And this is your life. So you got to always just dive inward and love yourself when you're having a hard time, especially with rejection. You got to be easy on yourself.
That is such a good answer. But next question, best bit of advice you can give young actors?
I would say, you know, kind of what I was just saying, do not give up. Be so interested in who you are right now. I can't emphasize that enough because I feel like in high school, of course, like, you know, we're all trying to fit in. We're all trying to see, you know, like what we're good at, what we can be known for. But if you have a passion for something, if you love, love, love theater, any aspect of it, you have to do it. If you love, love, love painting and you can't imagine doing anything else and all you can think about is painting, do it. It is so important to listen to your heart because, and I know that people hear this all the time, like when you're on your deathbed, what are you going to think about? How much money you made or the memories you made and like how many dreams that you actually went after, how many of your own dreams you actually went after. It's like what Waitress is about is like Jenna's at that crossroads where she's like, I could either literally take this moment in my life and actually make the life for myself that I've been wanting to all these years. And this might be a gift from the universe giving me a way out to do that. And then she doesn't. And then all these bad things happen. And then she eventually does. And she follows her dreams. And obviously that's the right thing that happened because she listened to her heart finally, but it took her literally pushing a child out of her body and looking at that child to see her worth, which is why Waitress is so beautiful. But the point is never giving up, knowing your own worth and not, and this is also such a hard age with like people can be really mean your age. Like I know it's not you, but I mean, people can be really, really mean. And looking back on it, because I had people who were mean to me. I was bullied. I was bullied for literally following my dreams. And I know a lot of other Waitress kids too. Like I've had a lot of you guys like reach out and say that like there's one girl who literally was bullied for doing all these shows, for going after this art form with full force. And that is not her problem. Those people who judge people like that, it's because they're jealous. It's because that they feel like they're missing something in themselves. So anyone who brings you down anyone who brings you down right now or is mean to you, it's just because there's something about you or your passion, not you in general, Mason, like anyone in general at this age. I'm not just like singling you out. It's because usually that person has something that other person is jealous of or wants of. So the best advice I can give right now is to just focus on yourself and be so obsessed with finding what material is good for you, what art makes you feel so good. And a lot of people don't know this, but knowing your body in a way where it's like how you can achieve freedom on stage and in performance. And I wish I would have started exploring at your age. It is so important starting to meditate now. And I know that probably sounds so unappealing, but if you take 5 minutes to meditate and be aware of where your breath is as an actor and an artist, it is just, if you start with that at this age, you will just build on top of that because you will just start to pay attention to your body, what feels good when you make a sound, what feels good when you breathe, what helps sustain a sound. And that, those are the tools for becoming a successful and well-rounded artist because you are not defined by the roles you book. You are defined by the skills that you learn yourself and you bring into your artistry. Because everyone can sing and mostly dance. Not everyone can act, but everyone can sing. That's what I'm going to say. Everyone can walk in the room and sing, but it is up to you to walk in the room, be you, make an impression on them, and do something that is not what something everyone else does, like going outside the norm, like not wearing jewel tones into an audition, wearing like your favorite t-shirt that makes you feel like you, because you know, the more you feel like you, the better you're going to perform this song. It's like little things like that. You know what I'm saying? Where you have to be so curious about yourself and know yourself well enough at this age and start to, well, it will carry on when you get to college or whatever you do after high school, it will carry on to your life. And that is what translates on stage and in the audition room. Not zip, zap, zop, you know what I mean? And all those theater games, like what translates in the room is the work you've done on yourself. That is the most important. And the earlier you can start, the better. And it will just show, especially if you're going into college auditions and professional auditions. It's just, a foot forward, a step in the door if you start doing that kind of stuff.
Something I'm really interested in is, what's it like from an actor's perspective to come out the stage door and see the fans?
I'm going to get emotional. It's everything I have ever dreamed of, ever. I was that stage door kid. I grew up in Chicago, so I had access to Broadway in Chicago, which is one of the greatest gifts I think any kid could ever have. Not Broadway in Chicago and any theater in any cities where it's accessible. I don't think I would even be here without seeing professional productions. And I'm sure you agree, because the fact, like, we can't just go to Broadway all the time. I didn't go to New York till I was like 18. Like, it's not accessible. And the fact that I was about to perform in Broadway in Chicago, and I'm so incredibly heartbroken. It was the show that our week in Broadway in Chicago got canceled. But I was that kid at the stage door every Broadway in Chicago tour. I was there at the stage door, like wanting to talk to them, just like, and it wasn't even like, I don't think I was like an obsessive fan. Like, I don't even think that really exists in musical theater. Like, I think we're all really cool personally. Like, I think we're different than like pop star fans. Like, we just talk to each other like we're humans. You know what I mean? And that's what I like about the stage door. It's not like how I would imagine, you know, it's like a big, like pop star, someone walking out and literally everyone's just screaming in their faces. You walk out of the stage door and you just get to talk to people. And I love that as an audience member. I don't do it as much as an adult, because I'm always, I don't know, I just like, I get worried about like saying something stupid. but as a kid, I wasn't, for some reason. And I probably said so many stupid things. But there's no better feeling as an audience member having the moment to connect with that performer after about the story you just saw that changed you, and connect with them and have them know that it changed you. But also from the performer's aspect, which I've never experienced this. Because every other show I've done, it was like a small off-Broadway show where there wasn't like a big following at the stage door, or it was a regional show where there wasn't a big following at a stage door because it was in a little town. The one I remember the most is Boise, because that was like our first stage door experience. That's where we teched the show and like technically opened, but we opened in Vancouver. But I'll never forget it. I walked out and this was the craziest stage door that we've had, because it was like our opening. But there was like a huge crowd of people, and me and someone else walked out and just screams. And that was the only time that I was like, this is probably what like celebrities feel like screams. That was like, I got overwhelmed, and luckily that hasn't happened yet. I mean, that hasn't happened again, but yeah, like I said before, that was the most magical time. But every time walking out, and just there's someone there who's waiting to talk to someone with their playbill or with nothing at all, and they're just waiting to just have a conversation about what they just saw or about anything at all. And I especially like that because I have social anxiety, and I have a really hard time talking about like to my friends and family about Waitress and about like things in my personal life like that. And I especially felt like that during Waitress because, you know, I was Dawn and people knew me as Dawn. So it kind of felt lonely because I was like, yes, I love representing Dawn, but like I'm Gabriella. And it was cool at the stage door that people knew who I was. Like, they knew I played Dawn and they also knew I was Gabriella. And then I got to know them too. And then Instagram is such an incredible, beautiful invention. I didn't have growing up going to all these shows. I had Twitter, and it was like, even then, like, you didn't use it the way we use Instagram now to communicate with each other. And it's so beautiful that we can go see a show like I knew you before you even saw the show because I recognized your username, and we talked before the show, and I got to like point to you in the audience, and we got to see each other after. That is the best part of the show.
That was so magical.
It was so magical. I agree. Because it's the difference between knowing someone and like knowing someone. You know what I mean? Like that makes me feel seen as Gabriella. It makes me feel seen that like you wanted to connect with me like that. And that's why the stage door is so special, because I get to connect with you and other people. Yes, as Dawn, because I just played Dawn and I know her because I play her like, you know, every night. But like we got to talk, like I got to talk to you as Gabriella, and that's so special to me. And I never forget any interaction I have, because what we get now is what I wanted at the stage door when I was little so bad. So the fact that I get to be what I needed when I was little from actors is the most fulfilling, magical thing ever. And yeah, I can't believe I fulfilled like this dream I've had like this young, like be like having that connection with fans. So it's just cool. Yeah. That like, this is the beginning of that. And hopefully there's more next year when we continue on, because the Waitress stage door is, I think, one of the most magical stage doors in theater.
Oh, absolutely. Experience or education? What do you think is more important in the realm of acting?
Ooh, good question. Okay. Oh my gosh, that's actually so hard. I want to say half and half, but okay, I'm going to say half and half, but it depends, because not everyone needs to go to college. And by that, and I said this on one of my Instagram takeovers, and I wish I could take it back so bad because I misspoke. I was like, you don't need education, who cares? But like, I didn't mean that at all. Like everyone, to get educated is good. But getting a BFA is not the end all be all. And it's really annoying to me that I don't have my BFA. I like don't even have a degree. I went to Cap 21. I have a certificate. And now that program is with a college where you can get a BFA. But me and Bailey, we went to school together at the same time to Cap. And it was in the transition period where it was with NYU, and then it was transitioning out of NYU because they had some differences, and it was transitioning to go to Molloy College. So it was just changing colleges, and it was still going to be a BFA program, but it couldn't be a BFA program in this transition time. So I don't have a degree and I'm still here. Like, yes, degrees are awesome if you want to like, you know, get a master's and, you know, continue on with your education after that. And of course the training is fantastic. I started off as a BFA musical theater major at Webster University, and I left after first semester. And I loved the program. I just knew in my heart of hearts I needed to be in New York. Unexplainable. Another story. But it just goes to show you have to listen to what you know you need. Because I tried the BFA thing, and in my mind I was like, if I stay here for 4 years, that feels like too long. I want training, but I want to be somewhere where I can audition. New York. I found Cap 21 where I was in this intense boot camp program, but I didn't get a BFA from it. But no one asked me if I have my BFA. You know what I mean? Like in the business, no one, you will not be cast based on the fact if you have a degree or not. So with that, I will say experience matters, but education goes hand in hand in that, because you can like, let's say, yeah, you grew up dancing and you're like a fabulous dancer. And so you just like book all these regional shows young as a dancer, So those dancers will have the experience of being in a show, which is great because that is a whole experience in itself. But there are things that you learn in class. Like, I mean, I could list a million things right now, but there's so many things that you don't get by being on stage where you get in school. And that could be with acting, with psychology, with writing. It actually doesn't matter like what you go to school for. Of course, if you're going to like do theater, take a theater class, you know, like gain some of that, but that's not the end all be all. It's about being educated as a human. So it's not just about taking every performance class you possibly can. Like that is actually, I would not recommend that. I would say take performance classes, then take some normal classes, because when you are playing characters, they're not, these characters all didn't go to school for musical theater. These characters like are humans who aren't musical theater performers. So it's important to know different things outside of musical theater, like in terms of psychology or different like breathing methods, yoga, or like anything like that, that just helps your brain grow, will help you grow as a performer. Because if you just stay in that BFA land where everything is just there and you don't branch out of that, you're going to have a problem. You're going to be just like, you know, a musical theater kid or just a theater kid, but what they're looking for now is an artist, a well-rounded artist who does things other than just like theater, you know? So my answer is half and half. The end all be all is not college, not BFA, but it is education in whatever way you feel like you need. But also equally experience goes hand in hand because I learned so much being in waitress this year that I just didn't know before because I've never been in a big commercial theater production like this, like a big literal Broadway touring production. So if I didn't have this experience, like I wouldn't know half the things I know now. So it's equal. But the experience part, that's luck and that sucks. So you can't plan that and you can't plan that, but you can plan your education. So I would say that, don't get so obsessed with the idea of like musical theater, become obsessed with the idea of like, I want to become a well-rounded, awesome human.
I'm learning so much today. Last question. What are you doing during quarantine?
Ooh, I'm doing way too much. I wish I wasn't doing so much. I don't know why I'm doing so much. All I want to do is play The Sims. The Sims is my life. I play it every night. But I've had to stop playing as much because I am now teaching voice lessons and acting coaching through Zoom, which is great. Yeah, which is great. I'm very busy now, which is, it's now I have a full-time job again, which is great. So yeah, you can also pass around my info to anyone like, in your drama club who might want, coaching or anything like that. That's what I'm doing. Still like doing the Q&A stuff and, some concerts, online for in the name of Waitress, or representing Waitress, I guess. And I'm taking a lot of classes. See, like I'm doing so much and I wouldn't do this otherwise. Like, I don't know why I'm choosing to now like study so much, but it's great. I'm taking a vocal health class, a vocal pedagogy class, which is essentially like learning anatomy and like how the voice works. Really interesting, and it's helping me become a better artist, which is great. And then I'm also in a sketch writing class, which was outside my comfort zone, but it's really fun. So I've been writing a lot of sketches, and hopefully I'll get over myself and put them on TikTok. But I'm still an old bat, and I don't get TikTok. And I'm also in a book club called The Artist Way, where I'm with a bunch of other artists, and we meet up once a week on Zoom. And it's an artist workbook, and it's a week-by-week thing, and you just do exercises each week that just help free your inner artist and your inner child, because your inner artist is your inner child. And ooh, that's good for me to say. And it's just helping me connect to my inner artist and my artist child better, which is always the goal as an artist, to connect to that inner child. So yeah, keeping myself busy.
I could talk to you for hours.
I know, this is so fun. Oh, thank you so much for setting this up.
Thank you for coming to it.
Yeah, yes, and I can't wait to see it.
I will definitely send it to you. But in the meantime, it was great talking to you, and see you soon. Okay, it's just me now, but how awesome is she? I could talk to her for hours, and we almost did. Sorry this is so long, but I hope you enjoyed this episode, and see you next week. I hope to get more interviews to where I can produce more of these episodes. But see you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.